Well, obviously, we need help, Lord, because this word is to be given out for His obedience, and I ask that You would give us ears to hear, give us a heart to perceive what Your Spirit is saying to the church. Obviously, we're in John chapter 14. We're going to touch on verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. So do not let your hearts be troubled is really an instruction from Him to cool your jets. God's got a plan. Trust in God by choice. Because, you know, sometimes we have a picture of God being supernatural, and He is. Overwhelming, and He is. But then He says, but also in me, which becomes personal to the Lord Himself, because He's the one that's speaking. Now, if you want to skip over to verse 15, I believe that, like in the days of our Lord commissioning His people, we also need to be commissioned to what He's already prepared for us. And He says in verse 15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Now, the first command is don't let your hearts be troubled. Sometimes we are so focused on what we think we should have or what we think should be taking place with those we love that we're unwilling to obey. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Notice again, to be with you forever, not part-time. And that counselor is the Holy Spirit. Now, in my life experience, I bowed my knee to the Lord many, many times, but when I really meant it, I got on my knees in the middle of my kitchen. And I asked Jesus to take over because the mess was too big for me. The mess of my life was just too big. And obviously, Billy Graham was on TV, and I thought, you know, hey, now everything's going to be perfect, and the week was following. I didn't feel one iota of difference. The following Friday, He's on again. I'm still in my kitchen and I'm listening. Guess what? I figured I must have did something wrong. How many walk around with inferiority and guilt? You know, you never did anything right in your whole life, so obviously you didn't pray this prayer right, so you know, God's not really taking over, so you might as well get back on your knees and pray the prayer again. Anybody relate? Okay. Well, believe it or not, I knelt back down and I said the same prayer the second time. And I still didn't feel anything different. Anybody relate? There are times that you are so stuck in your old patterns that you do worry, even though He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Okay? Ouch. He says it loud and clear. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Well, huh. I should worry because after all, it's the only thing I got to do that I'm doing right. I got news for you. It's not the only thing you do right. What you do right is when you believe that He is telling you, trust me, I know what I'm doing. Not only in your country, but in your life. Well, I got a problem with that. Because I was looking at myself of no value. My God, it got quiet in here. When I look at myself and I look at myself with no value, what happens? Can anybody relate to feeling with no value? No value whatsoever. You never will amount to anything. You will never be anything. Who do you think you are? You can't even talk straight. I went to school in Canada for 2 years, and I thought I was pretty good. When I came to the United States of America, I spent the next year trying to learn English and spent most of that time in the closet. Because the teacher was so dramatically compassionate to me that whenever I didn't understand something, instead of asking the little girl next to me, two rows over, to translate what she wanted, she would literally put me in the closet. So I spent 1 year, from 8 years old until 9 and a half, in the closet. That was good training. It was such a wonderful experience in there because, you see, at least they turned the light on. And there was toys galore. I make light of it, but you know what? I'd walk out of that closet full of tears. Because it wasn't my fault I couldn't understand. And I blame myself every step of the way. Self-condemnation is a disease. Did you hear me? It's a disease. It doesn't come from God. Well, if it doesn't come from God, where is it coming from? It comes from the human nature that has fallen from the grace of God. But when we run to Jesus, he starts lifting us up. He starts to push us out of the grave that we've put ourselves in because of words of condemnation that we heard from teachers and preachers. How many can agree from parents? Put your hand way up and wave it a little bit. Look around. Why? Because parents are trying to wake you up. They're trying to make you see something you can't see. So they're condemning you, and when you take on that condemnation, you get discouraged. You get discouraged and you think your whole life is going to be from downhill, getting worse and worse. But if I remember correctly, it says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in Jesus. Huh. Well, you know what? The first time he told me to trust him, I told him I can't. It came right out of my mouth. I can't. He said, you can choose to trust me. Well, that was a big difference. Choosing to trust him was something I could do. Choosing to trust that he had a plan for my life was even bigger. Then later on, I heard Jeremiah 29:11. God knows the plans he has for me. Well, as far as I was concerned, God was a God with a great big stick, and boy, he would use it on me every single time I didn't behave. So I had to get a new vision of God. So I'm going to ask you to do something for me tonight. I'm going to ask you to just close your eyes right now. And I'm going to ask you, if you have a person next to you, to just take their hand. Because the scripture says, if two of us agree on earth asking anything, he will do it for us. Say, I need to get a new vision of myself. I need to see what God sees in me. Even what I don't see. Whatever is hidden inside me. That I can't see. I'm asking God to reveal. All of this to me. On a one-to-one basis. And I'm asking the Holy Ghost to counsel me. And to comfort me. And to heal my heart. From all the rejection. And of all the punishments. That came through my life. That caused me to reject myself. And believe that I had no value. Thank you, Lord Jesus, to help me through this. Because it's really too big for me to do on my own. Amen? And amen. Now, why am I asking you to do this? Because everybody has a starting point. And you say, well, I've been born again for years and I know the Lord. You may know the Lord, but you don't know yourself. And instead of having an ugly picture in your mind of who you are, it's about time the picture gets changed. Oh, I should have heard at least one amen. at your neighbor and say, stop being defeated. Time is done. A new beginning today.
God has a plan
to make you valuable
in your own eyes.
Get a new vision. Hallelujah. Ah! Verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Not part-time. The counselor I knew nothing about for years. I told you I was 27. Got on my knees, said, God, come on, take over. Didn't believe what I could do, anything valuable. So obviously the second time I did it again. It took 10 years to discover the power of the Holy Ghost. 10 years. You say, you have to wait 10 years for the next level? No. But it did for me. And every time I talked to the person that I trusted, told me I didn't need any of that. That was the person that was in charge of my life at that time in a pastoral position. You know why? Because he gave me the advice he understood. We don't need the Holy Ghost. We got the Father and the Son. We're all set. After all, those gifts are for 2,000 years ago. They're not needed now. Well, guess what? I found that if I went to a different church, same denomination, but a different man, he anointed me with oil, and in 2 weeks I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I got my new tongue. And I discovered that I had value for the first time. You say, why did it take so long? Were you that stubborn? No, I believed the lie for 10 years. If I would have known that I could read the Word and get into it myself, rather than believe the authorities that had said, don't read that stuff because it'll drive you crazy, because you ain't smart enough, you haven't got any value. You're just a peon, somebody that walks on. That's what I believed about myself. After all, no value. Who are you? And it was confirmed how many times you spent the year in the closet. What happens to you when you're a boy or a girl will affect your future. And you believe those lies until somebody comes along and starts changing you. And my job is to kick your butt today. Out of the closet. And I'm kicking it hard because you're going to have to choose to look at yourself with a new vision. Because the Lord loves you. He loved you enough to get you out of the closet. He loved you enough to send his Son so that he could pay for your debt. He loved you enough to let him die on the cross so that you could come to life. He meant what he said. And then the Lord said, wait for the Holy Ghost. See, that's what he's telling the disciples. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor. Why? Because he was going away. That counselor came into my life. I was 37 years old. Oh, man. My wife and my family had to pay an incredible price. I drove them nuts. I literally drove them nuts. You think I got a big mouth now? You should have seen me then. There was zero control. Everybody I talked to, I wanted them to taste of the goodness of Jesus. And you know what? They ran the other way. Today, I learned that there is a time to speak and there's time to be quiet. Of course, you know, I'm talking loud today because the anointing is on me and I can tell. But that counselor has been with me and has not left me. Verse 17 tells you who he is. He's the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him,
for he lives with you and will be in you.
I received him from the outside, and then he came in at 37. You don't have to wait till you're 37 to receive him. A few months ago, Zephaniah came up to the altar here, and he's 10 years old. 10, right? Yeah. And the Holy Ghost came upon him and filled him with himself. And Zephaniah began to speak in other tongues. And he's been helping me ever since. When I have somebody that needs to have an extra boost, that young man right there was able to give a boost that I can't give, because you may not be able to receive it from an adult, but you'll receive it from a child. Amen. Why? Because you can trust a 10-year-old. He's not going to hurt you. Maybe an adult might. You see, you are still working from the intelligence that you had when you were a child. Adults are scary. The picture of yourself of being a child and being useless is that picture that you had when you were growing up. Today, again, you're getting a new vision because I'm kicking you hard. Get what God says you are. Get a clue of how much he loves you. Get a reality check that what you were is not what you are now. Amen? Amen.
Take a deep breath. Let it go. One more time. Way down deep. Verse 18. I will not leave you or as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you.
Amen. That's the biggest mouthful you could actually deliver when you realize that the Father, Son, and Spirit in seed form are inside of us. And when we get that reality check and we begin to believe it, all of the darkness that is around you will try to overwhelm you and get you to believe that you ain't got it because you ain't valuable enough. I asked permission this week from a great friend of mine and a brother in Christ. And I'm going to read to you what God gave him on October 4th at the Thursday night service during the Feast of Tabernacles. Close your eyes. These are the words that he gave to us. Right on time. How wonderful to be free of the torment of attack. Of the perpetual swirl of conflict, to feel empowered to toss off the shackles of self-applied label unworthy, and to know that he has made me and us in his image, feeling a veil lifting, sensing an opening of ears and eyes, my heart opening, knowing no further necessity of creating and sustaining walls that enclose. What a blessing. Believe in him. To be in love with and loved by him. Thank you. Thank you, Father, Lord, for the gift of your Son. Thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. Thanks are not enough. But coupled with a longing desire to please you, give me the hope and prayer for more and more and more. Amen and amen and amen. The label got changed on that individual. I believe the word says, Beloved of the Most High. When you can put a label on yourself that says, Beloved of the Most High, what's going to happen in your heart? A change will take place. So would you do me a favor? With your eyes closed, put your hand right above your heart. Say, I'm putting a new label today. On me. And it says, beloved of the Most High, accepted in the Beloved, washed in the blood that cleanses me from all the old mind patterns that I had in my heart. They're washed away today. Forever. And I have value. And I will tell my heart. Be at peace.
Be at
peace, heart. Know that you are loved.
Know that you are valuable.
And know that you are great in Christ. And all of God's people said,
amen.
And amen.